I honestly believe that the majority of the world has the opportunity right now to do as we just sang, to kind of return to the Lord, to get to say, I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing that I have made this life. And so we have this incredible opportunity to slow down, to reset, to examine, to even take the few moments to just find out and remind ourselves, like, what is life really about? And so we find ourselves in this kind of Mary and Martha moment, is what I want to call it, where God is actually removing the distractions for us. And that's what we're going to look at tonight in Luke 10. And the reason why I want us to look here is because there's this really simple, you know, opportunity we have for the majority, not for everyone. You know, there are people on the front lines who are busier than ever before, but for the majority of us, especially students, as you've gone to online classes, like, things have slowed down. And I've even heard that professors have even gotten a little light on you. So we have this opportunity called time that we maybe don't feel like we've ever had before, but we have. But what's crazy is I think we're treating it like one of those stop signs that's in a parking lot in a grocery store. And this is what I mean by this. Like, I'm just going to confess to you right now that I feel like God is very clearly saying, like, hey, slow down, stop, do these things. But I'm treating it like in grocery store parking lots, whenever I see a stop sign, I don't know who told me this, I don't know if it's real, so don't take this as a public service announcement. But what I heard one time was that stop signs in parking lots aren't real stop signs. They're suggestions, they're not laws. Like, if you actually run a stop sign in a parking lot, one of my friends, you know, let's just say it was some kid that doesn't know what he's talking about, but they told me at one point years ago that those are suggestions, those aren't laws. Those aren't what you're really supposed to do, they're just really what you do if there's other cars. You know, it gives you direction if you really need it. And I even feel like I feel like God has given us this opportunity to slow down, to stop, and we're taking it as a suggestion, but we're not taking it very seriously. And I'm the king of this. One, in parking lots, and two, even in this real life. Like, honestly, even on my way here, like, this has been the constant thought of my, in all of my prayers, is God is just like, hey, why aren't you slowing down? Why aren't you spending more time sitting with me? Why aren't you talking to me more? Why aren't you praying more? Why aren't you spending more time in my word? I just hear this consistently. And even on my way here, I got a flat tire. I'm like, okay, goodness gracious. Like, I won't be able to leave this place until I change out my tire. Like, I have to slow down. And you know, that's a funny thing that I can laugh about, I can joke about, that's real. But it was exactly what I planned on talking about tonight. I think Jesus and God himself is giving the world a stop sign, and we are taking it as a suggestion. And so tonight, I want us to look briefly, and I say briefly on purpose, not because I think our attention spans are short. Sometimes they are. But we're going to be in Luke 10, and all we're going to look at is the story of Mary and Martha and Jesus. They're in a home. As we continue our series, Vert at Home, we're going to see what we're meant to do with Jesus at home. Like, it's going to be this really clear thing. And as I said, it's going to be brief. And I'm going to end with giving you questions for quarantine, just as I did last week for Vert at Home. Questions in quarantine last week. We're going to end with questions in quarantine this week so that you can work through those questions with your friends, your families, your roommates, or maybe you can call some friends that you know are also paying attention to this, or you can send this podcast, send this link to somebody else so that they can watch it and y'all can communicate about this. Because this is a moment where we also need to take the opportunity to spend time with people, to be relational. And so, but first, I want us to see what God has for us in Luke 10 tonight. So would you turn there? We're going to be in Luke 10, verses 38 through 42. I'm going to read it out loud for us. It says this: Now, as they went on their way, Jesus and his people, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home, into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to Jesus and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. And so we have this story of Jesus entering into a home. And there are these two characters. There's Martha and there's Mary. And Martha, it seems to be welcoming at first. and seems to be this great character. And it seems to be, we get to look at the dynamics between these two. And I really think that the gospel writer, Luke here, wants us to observe and compare and contrast the way that these two respond differently to the person of Jesus. And so I just want to start with Martha and just work through what are the different things that she did. We're going to observe Martha, we're going to observe Mary, and then we're going to apply it and think through questions of how this applies to us. And so first we see Martha, as I said, is this welcoming, you know, sweet woman. She's hospitable. It reminds me of my mother, not that my mother's Martha, but just like I think of my mom, I'm like, sweet Roberta. She's just so sweet and hospitable. Like I think of Martha in this moment where at very first, a woman named Martha welcomed Jesus into her house. So our first thought of Martha is that she's a sweet lady, right? She's welcoming. But then we keep reading in verse 40 and it said, but Martha was distracted with much serving. You know, what's interesting here is she's not distracted with like social media. You know, obviously there was none at that point. She's not distracted about what other people might think about this Jesus person entering into this house. She's not distracted with her resume or social status, all these different things. Like, no, she is distracted with serving. Martha was distracted with good. And so we see that she's welcoming, she's distracted. And then the third thing we see is that she's comparing. Martha turns to Jesus in verse 40 again. She says, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. She goes to Jesus. She's like, hey, do you not see this? My Mary's being lazy. Like, what are you doing? Tell her to come and help me. She starts comparing herself. And Martha, turns to Jesus, compares herself to her sister Mary. And Martha's trying to earn favor with God by serving him. She's trying to serve Jesus, and she's mad that Mary isn't serving Jesus. She's accusing her sister, and she's kind of showing this self-righteousness, like, hey, I'm right. Tell her to do what I'm doing, because what I'm doing is right. And what I love about Martha here is that I think Martha has a little bit of something that a lot of us have, and that's OCD, and it's not the OCD that you might be familiar with. I'm going to introduce you to a new OCD. It's obsessive comparison disorder, where everything we do is compared to other people. Like our entire lives, even in shelter in place in this very moment, like we still are struggling with like, well, their shelter in place situation is better than our shelter in place situation, right? Like we're still actually dealing with this obsessive comparison disorder where we think that everything around us and is the gauge to which our life actually is. Everything's just a comparison and we feel better because of the way that, you know, we compare to others, and we even feel worse compared to the way compared to others. It's this OCD that we have, that Martha too has. And the last thing we see about Martha is that she's anxious. She's anxious about many things, it says. Jesus says to her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. Martha is anxious about many things. She's likely preparing a meal, prepping for Jesus, but you must understand, and we must understand, that this anxiety is selfish, but it doesn't look selfish. Again, it's disguised as service. It's approval of man masked as service. It's serving to be seen, not serving just to serve. Her busyness is causing her anxiety and trouble. And there's too much to do because of the pressure that Martha has put on herself. Jesus didn't put this pressure on her. I want us to see that Jesus doesn't put the pressure of the many things on us. We put it on ourselves. And this really reminds me of the way that we tend to wrap bad things with good intentions. Reminds me of this beautiful thing that happens about this time of year in the city of Houston. And there's different places this happens as well, like county fairs or state fairs. But at the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo, a few weeks ago, I was supposed to go see Brad Paisley with friends. I was so excited, not just because I love Brad Paisley, or at least his old stuff, his new stuff is meh. But here's the reality. I was really excited to see Brad Paisley, but what I was just as excited to do was get to eat all of the fried foods. Because you know what's amazing is at the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo, they fry Snickers, they fry Twinkies, they fry anything you want them to fry. And here's the deal. I remember being with a friend years ago when I was near college, and a friend of mine and I were talking about this, and he was like, I was like, man, it's just so good to have all these fried foods. And my friend, he's kind of a cowboy. I don't want to make fun of him, but he was a hick. And here's the reality. He responded to me and he said, even a cow patty tastes good if you fry it. And I'll never forget. I'm like, dude, that's tweetable. Like, that's amazing. Like, you should be a preacher. That's what they pay people to say, you know, that kind of stuff. And so it was this beautiful picture that even a cow patty would taste good if you fried it. And I say that tonight for us, because I think what Martha is doing is showing us that we are masters of wrapping bad things with good intentions. It's self-deception. And sometimes it's even, it's like semi-bad things. Like serving isn't bad inherently, but it's wrapped in a good intention, but it's really not the one thing. It's not the most important thing, Jesus points out. And so that's Martha, who is obsessed and thinking through many things, is this word that Jesus uses to describe Martha. Many things. You're anxious and troubled about many things. She's welcoming, which at first seems positive, but then she's distracted and comparing and anxious. And so we're going to look at Mary, who focuses on the one thing. And so Martha, many things. Mary, one thing. Let's look at Mary. In verse 39, we see this. Martha has this sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. Let's stop right here. So Mary is this person who sits. Mary is known in the Bible, really, for multiple occasions, just sitting at the Lord's feet, whether it's anointing him with oil and weeping at Jesus's feet at the death of Lazarus, or simply listening to him is at his feet in this passage. Like, this is what Mary is known for, rightly just sitting and listening. And so first we see that she's sitting. She's not anxious. She appears to be slightly lazy, though, at least according to Martha. But she's not anxious. She doesn't feel this pressure. She's just sitting there receiving. In verse 42, it says this, that one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. You see, as she's sitting, she's choosing the one thing, and that one thing is the good portion. And what you need to know is that this is referring to a famous passage in the Old Testament in Psalm 16, where the psalmist says, "The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance." And so this is saying that the good portion is eternal in nature. Jesus Christ himself is the good portion. It's the one thing. And even the psalmist is saying, "The Lord is my chosen portion." And so Jesus is tying these two stories together. He's tying the scriptures together, showing the people, the Jewish people, and anyone that would be reading this, that he is the true and one thing. He is the chosen portion, that he is sufficient. The psalmist is describing his satisfaction with God's provision. My lots have fallen, or the lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. He's saying, man, the way God has provided for me is sufficient. He's satisfied in God's provision. The psalmist is content in the Lord and in the Lord's provision, and so is Mary. And Jesus is pointing that out for us. And so Mary, like the psalmist, has chosen the good portion by choosing the one thing. And what it shows us here is that as Mary sits and is content, and as we compare her to Martha, what we can immediately pull from this is that comparison is a thief of contentment. Like, one of the reasons why we aren't content in this very season is because of the very comparison that we have because of our nature of being like Martha. And so the reason why we struggle with just sitting and choosing the one thing, or the reason why we struggle with contentment, is because we don't sit and we don't choose the one thing. And the other thing that Mary does, the first thing is she sits. The second thing is she listens. Mary just listens. She isn't defensive. even towards her sister's accusation. Do you know that? Do you notice this? Like, she's not offended. She isn't triggered. She's not frustrated and starts fighting with her. Like, she's just like, oh, that's cool. You know, you think I'm being lazy, but really I'm just choosing the right thing. I'm choosing the one thing. She has a humility and a trust to just sit and to listen. She listens to him. And what's really interesting about this is that she's not listening to what other people have to say about Jesus. She's just listening to Jesus himself. Just her and him. And she's just sitting there receiving. As I just said, she isn't distracted. She isn't trying to win his approval. She isn't trying to earn his love. She's just sitting with him in the home, just the way we're meant to be, sitting and listening. So Martha, the many things. Mary, the one thing, sitting and listening. And so last week, as we started this Vert at Home series, where we want to create conversations with your roommates and your friends and your family and all the people that would be joining you, we went through some questions for quarantine. And so even this week, I have some questions for us in quarantine. And the first is this, like, Martha welcomes Christ in their house, right? Martha invites them in. And so my first question is, Christ welcome in your house? Like, it's a very simple question. Is Christ welcome in your house? It's we need to think through this. Like, do we really let him sit? Do we really let him be a part of our house? And many of us are like Martha, and we welcome Jesus into our house. But here's what I would like to say, and even point out for many of us, is that many of us like to welcome Jesus into our house, and we like to put him on the shelf. And so this is how we do this. Like, we have these Jesuses that we enjoy just putting on the shelf, right? We just put them right where it's comfortable. Or about Christmas time, we're like, hey, why don't we just put, you know, the nativity scene on the shelf or on the mantle, right? So yeah, of course, Jesus is allowed in our house, right? We love Christmas. We love the nativity scene. We love Jesus on the shelf. And so does Martha. Like, you're welcome in the house, but too many of us have had Jesus on the shelf when he's meant to be the Savior. Like, he's not meant to be on a shelf. He's meant to be our Savior. He's meant to be our Lord. He's meant to be our ruler, our authority. He's meant to be the King of our lives. And so the follow-up question just to, is Jesus welcome in your house? Is he on the shelf, or is he your Savior? Because I think some of you love just the comfortable, let's keep Jesus on the shelf. You know, look, he looks cute in the nativity scene. But even Martha let Jesus in the house. But he wasn't where he was supposed to be in her life as the one main thing. So the second question is this: how do we sit and listen to Jesus? Just like Mary, how can we prioritize the one thing? How do we sit and listen to Jesus? And I just want you to know that we're meant to turn things off, turn things on, do not disturb, and give God, give Christ himself our undivided attention in prayer and God's word. Now more than ever, we're allowing our screens to control our lives. And I've had to start, like, in order to get work done, this is how this is in this current season. In order for me to get work done, I have to leave devices in other rooms. I have to put everything on do not disturb. I have to close my door, and I have to be so focused. And that's just to get work done. How much more important should it be for me to remove distractions for the most important thing in my life? Christ himself. So how do we sit and listen? We listen to Jesus today by reading the Bible. The Bible is God's word for us, and Christ is God in the flesh. So God in the flesh. In order to spend time with God or with Christ, we spend time in his word. And so we spend time with Jesus in this way. We listen to him by spending time in his word, and we sit by just sitting. It's like pretty self-explanatory, but I think we're getting bad at it. Even in this moment, you probably have been distracted to text all throughout this entire service or whatever you want to call this. Like, you're distracted. Maybe you're cooking eggs or you're doing some other stuff. It's like, late at night, why would you be cooking eggs? That doesn't make any sense. But you're doing something. Like, you've been tempted to do something. For me, like last Sunday at church, I literally was texting my own pastor while he was preaching. And I'm like, this, I had to text him. I'm like, talk to you later. I still use TTYL. Talk to you later. I have to focus. I'm over here like just distracted even with good things. And so we now more than ever need to take seriously this opportunity to sit and listen, to remove distractions. And so I asked, how do we sit and listen? The next one is, are we sitting and listening to Jesus? And if not, we must figure out why. What's really stopping us? First, I want you to know that discipline precedes desire. I say this all the time. Yes, it might not be your favorite thing to do at first, but over time, discipline becomes desire. You will desire to spend time with Jesus once you learn the discipline of spending time with Jesus. So discipline precedes desire. We order our lives by what we love. So some of us need to have an honest conversation with God if he isn't our priority, and pray that God would change that in us, that we would sit and listen to the one thing, the most important thing. And notice that in all the Bible, Jesus sat, he walked, and he was constantly interrupted by others. We have this opportunity where, honestly, this is the first time I've driven this week. This is the only time I'll drive this week, is to be a part of this. And so it's an opportunity to walk, to sit, to listen to Christ himself. We can live in his example. Like, he wasn't always in a hurry. He lived a very steady walking life. So therefore, I think we have the freedom to be able to sit just as he sat and make a priority for the very things that he made a priority for. He even would steal away and spend time alone with the Father. And so we meant to too. In the famous words of Kanye, Jesus walks, like, we can chill with our busyness. And fourth question, are you distracted, anxious, or busy? Just as Martha was, are you distracted, anxious, or busy? And as I said earlier, are your distractions deceptive? Are you distracted with much serving, which looks like good things? And it is a good thing. It's not inherently a bad thing, but it's keeping us from the main thing. And are your distractions really just bad things wrapped in good intentions? And are you distracted from the good thing, the one thing? And then the last thing for us, the last question I have is, are you content with the one thing? Like, are you content with Christ? Like, I have to ask myself this question, like, if everything in the world goes to shambles, if our economy, if school, if friendships, if housing, if food becomes slim, if I lose my job, if all else fails, is Christ enough? Am I content with the one thing? Is that sufficient? It's my last question for us tonight. If all things were stripped from our lives, would Christ be enough? And I'll close with this. Don't let simplicity, the simplicity of tonight, steal the significance of sitting and listening. It's the most important thing. It's the one thing. And this final takeaway I want us to see from this passage, and really from the entire Bible, is that God is about both God and us, but primarily about God. And it's this, that God is a relational being. And because of that, we were made for relationships. I really think Corona has, and COVID-19 specifically, has exposed that even in the introverts, like, relationship is required. And here's how this happens in two ways, that this is actually part of the reason why I believe God is real. So listen with me right here. First, God is relational in that he sent Christ. Like, he's not this distant God who's far from us, he's not just like this puppeteer. Like, he came to relate with us. He became a part of this world. He became flesh. He came to relate with us through salvation and belief and following Christ himself. That's how we relate to him. We relate to God through Christ. And this is why Christians emphasize relationship over religion, relationship over ritual. Because we have a God who is relational, and is proven in the fact that he sent his son to become flesh so that he may dwell among us, so that he might be in relationship among us. So that's the first way God's relational. And even in this passage, we see that he wants to dwell with us. Like, he's okay with us sitting with him. And then the second way is in the way that we look at God. Like, we have this triune God. We describe it as the Trinity. We describe God as the Trinity, which is this term applied to God in order to explain his perpetual existence as three persons, but one God. And this is beyond our pay grade, because we're humans and we only exist in one persons. We can't be three persons in one. You know, that doesn't work for us as humans, but because God is above our pay grade, and he should be above our pay grade. Because if God isn't above our imagination and our understanding, then we would probably be God. And so God is three in one. He's perfect in unity. He's perfect in being one and being relational. And because we're made in his image, as image bearers, we too desire relationship. I don't care if you're an introvert or an extrovert, we desire relationships. And so first, we're meant to relate to God through Christ. And second, we're meant to relate to God by relating ourselves to others. Like, we were made for relationship. Even this passage points us to this. And so as we're made in the image of the triune God, just understand, if you don't believe in this Jesus person, ask yourself the question, who are you missing? Like, why are you lonely? Why? Because you have been made in God's image. You weren't made to do this alone. Yes, marriage, God says, you know, man was not meant to live alone with regards to marriage, but also throughout the early church, the book of Acts shows us we were never meant to do this alone. We're made for relationship. And so maybe your loneliness is pointing to the fact that we have a God who wants to relate to us. And we have a God who wants us to take the love that he's shown us through his son, Jesus. He wants to relate to others and love them. And so I want us, most importantly, in these coming moments, to sit and listen and relate to this God who is relational. May we not blow by those stop signs, this stop sign that God is showing the majority of the world. We not blow by it because we believe it's a suggestion. But will we stop and we sit and would we listen? I'm gonna pray that we would. God, I pray that you wouldn't be just Jesus on our shelf, but that we would rightly relate to you. Lord, I pray that you would be our savior, that we would sit and we would listen to you, that you'd be the king of our world, you'd be the authority of our lives, that you would be the one that we follow each and every day. Lord, I pray that every single one of us would rightly relate to you, that we would take this moment, this season in our world, and we would just pause, we would sit, and we would listen. We would take advantage of this opportunity to just sit at your feet, to listen to your word through your scriptures. Lord, forgive us for being like Martha, busy with good things, not that bad of things, just busy with serving, but missing the one thing. Lord, I repent. I ask that you would help me. Lord, would we have the one thing? Would that be sufficient for all of us? God, will you be enough? I pray that over all of us. We pray this in your son Jesus' name. Amen. We thank you for joining us tonight as a part of Vertical. And we hope that you have the most amazing Easter week. And one thing I just want to put on your radar is that just after Easter, we're going to be jumping in to a thing called FM72. You need to jump on Instagram and follow at FM72 Waco. We're so excited for what God is going to do, just like we believe he worked last year. We look forward to the way he's going to work in and through FM72 this year. What that stands for is Fountain Mall, 72 hours of prayer. And so be looking out. We're going to have a lot of information coming your way. We don't want you to miss that. And we hope that you have the most amazing Easter week. We'll see you next week.